Mark chapter 7. Now, for the benefit of the people listening to this by tape, and those maybe that weren't here this morning, the message tonight is going to be kind of a continuation of the message this morning. And the message this morning was entitled, Are You Living by a Mishnah? And the tape of this is available. Just contact us and we can get you the tape of this of the entire sermon. But for the sake of those who are listening to this by tape, those who weren't here, and in order to pick up where we left off, we are going to have to do some review. So to begin the review, let's start in verse 1. It says, and then just to let you know, fill you in here on what's going on, Jesus was in Gennesaret, and he was ministering to a lot of people. And in verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Okay, again, very briefly to review from this morning. The Jews had essentially two laws. One was the written law and the other was the spoken or the oral law. The written law is what was given from God to Moses to the people. The oral law is what the scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priests, added to the written law. And they would be teaching the people the written law, but then they would throw in these things that had never been given from God to the people. And some of those things had to do with, you know, the washing of hands and pots and all this other kind of stuff. Well, the written law was the law that was given from God through Moses to the people. The oral law became known as the Mishnah. And so the people, when they would hear the teaching from the scribes and the Pharisees and all this other, when they would hear this, they would be hearing written law and Mishnah. But the problem was, they didn't know how to read, and they didn't have the scrolls anyway. Those were kept by the, you know, those were kept in the temple, if you will. So the people really didn't understand, and all they had to go by was what was being spoken to them. So if the priest or the scribe stood up and started sharing the written law, but then threw in elements of the Mishnah, these folks didn't have any idea. They thought whatever they heard was the law. So for centuries, not only are they trying to live by the written law, but they're also trying to live by the Mishnah, which had been added to the law. Problem was, the scribes and Pharisees made no distinction, and it had gotten to the point to where, in some cases, they actually honored the Mishnah more than the law that was given. And so they're asking Jesus, you know, well, how come your disciples don't eat or don't wash their hands before they eat? And we talked about the process of washing their hands, how that you had to pour water on your hands, first with the fingertips up, and then rub the fist together in the hand, and then pour water with the fingertips down, then you could eat. And those who were extremely dogmatic about this would actually go through this washing process in between each course of whatever it was, like a five-course meal, five washings. So the people that were fanatic about it, they had a lot of washings. That's one of the reasons why it says in verse 3, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. So these Pharisees and scribes, they go to Jesus and they say, hey Jesus, what's the problem here? I mean, you know, your fellows, your disciples are eating with defiled hands. And essentially, at this point, the people would have been on the side of the Pharisees because they didn't know the difference. So they see the Pharisees, you know, coming on to Jesus, you know, why are they doing this? Why are your disciples doing this? Another way to put it is, hey, Jesus, who are you to teach your disciples that it's okay to eat with defiled hands? They were calling into question the doctrine of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus. And the folks that are hearing this, standing around, in their minds, they would have been thinking, well, yeah, gee whiz, that's true. I mean, you know, we've been going to church all our lives, and the priest, the scribe, and all the Pharisees, I mean, that's what they teach us, that according to God, you know, by golly, we better have these clean hands before we sit down to eat, or else, you know, there's a defilement that goes on. And this Jesus, man, these Pharisees are right. He didn't correct his disciples or anything. Well, Jesus comes along in verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Now again, very briefly, this Corban thing. Essentially, and again, very briefly, you could have a person, young man, old man, didn't matter. I mean, just you can have a man over here that had a whole lot of money. And he was supposed to help his parents if they came into a place of need. That was part of the honoring your father and your mother. And so he'd have all this money over here, and his mom and dad, they need some help. But if he said that my wealth is Corban, what it meant was that all my money, I have declared it to be a gift unto God. Therefore, mom and dad, as much as I'd like to help you, I'm sorry, I can't. You guys are on your own. Well, this was just a way for him to be able to keep his money, because even though you declared your money to be Corban, that is a gift set aside for God, didn't mean you had given it to him. It just meant, that'd be like somebody saying, well, you know, I've got $1 million in the bank, but it's Corban. In other words, you know, gee whiz, you know, I'd like to help you, help this person, I'd like to do this, do that with it, whatever. Mom and dad, I'd like to help you out. Problem is, I can't, see, because this money over here, I have already committed it unto God. Well, when are you going to give it to him? Well, you know, when the Lord moves, that's when I'll sign some of it over to him. But right now, it's in the bank for safekeeping, gaining interest, making me richer. You see the image in this? So anyway, that's what this Corban thing was all about. And Jesus said, you guys actually excuse this activity. You teach people the tradition of Corban. But the tradition of Corban actually goes against the Word of God. And he says in verse 13, making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. In other words, what he is identifying is that the scribes, the chief priests, the Pharisees and all, through teaching the traditions above the Word of God, they're actually teaching the people to break the Word of God, to violate the law. But yet, they don't tell the people that. They tell the people that what we teach you is the law. This is the Word of God. This is how you're supposed to live. This is how it's supposed to be. Well, Jesus, as he's going through here, and he makes these statements to them, that you guys are violating the Word of God through your traditions. And you've got these stupid traditions, such as verse 8, the washing of pots and cups and other things. And then, you know, verse 11, this thing about, you know, the Corban. I mean, that's another dumb tradition. And we talked about the fact that, you know, Jesus, because he was fulfilling the law, if his disciples had ever tried to do anything that was the breaking of the law, he would have corrected them over this. In fact, he reminded people in one place how that when, you know, according to the law, you're supposed to obey the law. Remember the fellow that got healed of the leprosy, and Jesus said, go offer the sacrifice, the offering commanded of Moses. He was telling this guy, listen, you need to comply with the law because you're still under the law. I haven't finished my work of fulfilling the law. Well, as he's talking about these traditions and everything, the very fact that he did not tell his disciples that they needed to wash their hands proved that this hand-washing thing had nothing to do with the law, that it was just a tradition. So the people are hearing this, and they're hearing Jesus essentially not enforce the washing of hands. They're hearing Jesus come against the teaching of the washing of the pots And they're hearing Jesus come against the teaching of this Corban thing, let alone all the other stuff. He said many such things that you do, and so on and so forth. So the people would have heard this, and you know, it wouldn't have taken some of them too long to figure out, wait a minute, what are you telling us, Jesus? That all these things about hand washing and pot washing and Corban, are you telling us that that has never been in the law at all? Because that is exactly what Jesus was saying. And you can imagine the shock that would have just like riveted these people when suddenly they realize that they have been trying all their lives to live according to things that could do absolutely nothing for them in the eyes of God. So you mean that I have been living all my life going through all this hand washing stuff and God never commanded it? Is that what you're trying to tell me, Jesus? You're telling me that all this pot washing, all this Corban, all these other things that the scribes, Pharisees, and priests have been teaching, are you telling me that they told us if we didn't do these things, we wouldn't be acceptable in God's sight? Now all of a sudden, we find out it didn't matter that we didn't have to do these things? You're telling me that they even were leading us in the breaking of the law? To uphold their traditions? You mean we've been living in violation of God's law and didn't even know it? Right about then, if I were a Pharisee, I think I'd be getting a little nervous, anticipating a possible uprising. I mean, when the people find out that I have added things to God's Word and changed God's Word for the sake of my tradition, those people are going to be honked off. Because here they come, they offer up the offerings, offer up the sacrifices and all this, and then turn right around and go back out and live according to traditions instead of the Word of God. They can't go 30 minutes without breaking the law. And they're right back where they started. They thought they were okay, but they're right back where they started. And so Jesus is going through and He's exposing all of this. And we gave an example of, we had three people come up. They were on one side. Then we had three people over here on the other side of the front of the sanctuary that represented Pharisees. And the three other people that were over on the left side of the sanctuary, they were my disciples. We had them represent my disciples. And so they stood over here and they joined hands. And they began to pray in the Spirit. Well, then the Pharisees, they came walking across and they're looking at these three disciples of mine like my disciples are crazy. And they're looking at them and staring at them and giving each other this, what are these people doing? Well, what's wrong with these people? Why are they doing this? Where do they get the idea they can do that? And then the chief Pharisee looked at me and said, why do your disciples not live according to what they've been taught? Don't they know? They can't pray in tongues anytime they want. Well, then I turned around and I presented to them the Word of God. And I said, you know, but don't you understand that if a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto men but unto God, howbeit in the Spirit, you know, he speaketh mysteries, no man understands him, but if any man speaks in an unknown tongue, he's edifying himself. And again, you know, if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. And again, but ye beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. In other words, I kept coming about it, you know, and again, in the Word, and again, the Word says, and again. And then I confronted them with this. If God has said these things in His Word, and this is what He wants them to do, live by faith and pray in the Spirit to build themselves up and edify themselves on their most holy faith and so forth, then why are you rendering the Word of God of none effect in their lives just to uphold your traditions? And we use that as an example of Mishnah teaching. How that there are a lot of, you know, in churches today, there are people that teach Mishnah above the Word of God. If the Word of God says that praying in tongues will accomplish certain things, then praying in tongues accomplishes those things. And if I don't pray in tongues, I don't get the spiritual benefits that God's Word says I'll get. There's no other way to get around this. You can preach and teach all you want. I don't care how many diplomas you have hanging on your wall. I don't care how many seminaries you went to or teach at. I don't care how many books you have on the market. It makes no difference. If you're teaching people something that contradicts what God has said in His Word, it is Mishnah teaching. It is a Mishnah. And so if you lead people to live according to Mishnah, you're actually leading them away from the Word of God. Now, they think that what they're hearing is truth. And they think that everything that's being preached to them is God's Word. Because they're getting it from, you know, scribes, Pharisees, and priests, if you will. And so here they are. They're trying to do things and trying not to do things to be pleasing to God because they love God. To do what God wants, to be accepted by God. That's what they want. But then, either in this life or when they stand before God, here's what's going to happen. Jesus is going to do the same thing then that He did with these people, with these priests and with all those folks that were there. He is going to expose the Mishnah and the truth. And listen, it's better to find out now so that you can correct things now than when you get to heaven. Because when you get to heaven, it's a little bit too late to try and make some changes. And so, we found out that if we don't go back to the Word of God, and we don't follow the Word of God, leave it in context, not just take a verse out here and a verse out there. See, this is the thing, guys. This stuff goes on all the time. This is a Sunday. In churches that preach, you must be born again. See, the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, they weren't trying to lead people away from God. They were telling people all these things that will make them closer to God. Then Jesus comes along and He says, "But yeah, the Word makes people closer, but the traditions don't." And if you got people trying to live by the traditions, then they're just spinning their wheels going nowhere. They're trying their best, but all their efforts, like Jesus said, are in vain. It's a waste of time. In other words, Jesus was telling the people, all these times that you've washed your hands before you ate, waste of time. All these pot cleanings you did, waste of time. All this Corban, waste of time. It did nothing for you. You're still where you were. Well, that's pretty frustrating. So now, using the example that we used this morning about the people praying in the Spirit and, you know, the Pharisees criticizing that and so forth, and yet the Word of God says that if you do these things, you get certain benefits. You have people today who are against being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and they preach it and they teach it from their pulpit. But what does the Word say? If you leave the Word in context, what does the Word say? They tell you that you can't pray in tongues. They'll be against tongues, or they'll tell you can't pray in tongues anytime. What does the Word say? If I pray, not if the Holy Ghost moves on me, but if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, albeit my understanding is unfruitful, I'm praying mysteries, I'm speaking mysteries unto God, I'm edifying myself. But yet if I'm convinced that not doing that is the right thing, and doing something else over here is the right thing, I do the something else, and I don't do the thing that's in the Word of God. And the whole time I'm doing the something else, I think I'm growing spiritually. I believe that I am making accomplishments. I believe I'm making advancements. And yet, you can do whatever you want. You can give all the money. You can go to church all the time. You can read your Bible. I mean, you can do whatever you want. But if whatever you do does not line up with God's Word, then guess what? You're spinning your wheels. It's not accomplishing anything in your life. You're not growing and maturing spiritually. I don't care whose books you've read. I don't care what they tell you. Does it line up with the Word? If it doesn't, then it's not accomplishing anything. A lot, you know, folks are listening to this by tape, by radio. If the church service that you attended, you know, on Sunday, I'm preaching this on a Sunday. If the church service that you attended today taught you something that did not line up with the Word of God, all you got was an ear full of Mishnah. You did not get truth. And if you try to apply to your life what you were taught, if it was Mishnah, believing that that's going to cause you to be able to fulfill God's plan for your life, you're wasting your time. Why are you in a church like that? You think God's proud of you? You think God's pleased with you? Honestly, do you think, as you're listening to this, if the church service you went to today takes a stand against being filled with the Spirit, against praying in tongues, if they tell you that, yes, God can heal if it's His will, if they tell you that miracles aren't for today, divine healing, if that's the kind of stuff that you're hearing, Why are you wasting your time? It's Mishnah. It is an oral tradition, an oral law that did not come from God. And it's going to produce squat in your life. But you think, if you continue on with it, it's going to produce something. Why don't you do yourself a favor and get in the Word of God and find out what God said for a change? Quit wasting your time listening to people. Quit wasting your time listening to me if all I give you is Mishnah. How do you know if I'm giving you Mishnah or truth? How do you know? You've got to go back to the source, man. You've got to get in here. But yet people, you know, they've got it figured out that all I have to do is read so-and-so's books, and all they have to do is go to church and put in their time and do their duty. It's like they've enlisted in the army or something, you know? They're waiting for a discharge, which they call the rapture. And they think that everything's going to be okay. Dear heart, you've got a rude awakening coming. Everything's not going to be okay. Get your butt out of a church that's wasting your time with Mishnah, for crying out loud. Somebody in here or somebody hearing this is struggling with this message. And I can feel some anger, and it's not mine. God is not pleased with you because, oh, here's why. It's because you've heard some truth before and you rejected it because you wanted to seek favor in the eyes of somebody else. Well, you better listen to what God has to say. You are going to be held accountable for what you heard and rejected. And it will not go well with you because you have already started down a path that's going to take you away from His perfect will. You have already started walking away from the direction that He wanted you to go, and it's your fault, and you can't blame anybody else because you heard truth and you turned your back on it. Now, I don't know who that's for, but man, you better take this seriously. Because you see, there are too many Christians in the body. I have encountered Christians. All they want is to feed on Mishnah. They don't want to take the time to find out. Their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and because they're doing a religious thing of going to church, they think everything is okay. It's not. It's not. You better quit playing games with God. And you better get your act together. And you better do... What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Which means you've got to differentiate between His word and Mishnah. See, this is one of the things that got Jesus in trouble with the Pharisees. It was because He continued to expose Mishnah and exalt truth. Remember how many times, you know, you've heard it, they would get on Him about something and He would come back at them with, have you not read? Have you not heard? Well, of course they did. They knew that. That was like a slap in the face question. Excuse me, you guys are the teachers. Have you not heard? Well, sure they had heard. He just embarrassed these old boys right and left. You know that? Well, now look at this. In verse 14, now in some of your Bibles, you may notice a break in between verses 13 and 14. And there might be like a bold-faced heading above verse 14, as though verse 14 begins something different. But it doesn't begin anything different. It is a continuation of what began in verse 1. Now look at this. First off, verse 14, what's the word? And. Okay. And is a connecting word, a bridge word, a put these thoughts together word. Okay? And when He had called all the people unto Him, He said unto them, hearken unto Me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that, entering into him, can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, now, let's look at this just at this point to see if the thought is continuing, if he's you know, going forward with what he'd already started. In verse 15, he says, nothing from without that entering into him can do what? Defile him. All right, now, verse 2. And when they saw some of His disciples eat bread with what? Defiled. That is to say, unwashing hands. So can you see, we're continuing with this thought here. We're talking about defilement. We're talking about the difference between being defiled and being clean, are we not? And we're also talking about the difference between Mishnah and the law. or truth. So he says, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Well, then he stops. And in verse 17 it says, and when he was entered into the house from the people, in other words, all this stuff was taking place outside of the house. It's like Jesus was headed into the house and they stopped him. Jesus, why do your disciples eat with unwashed hands? Oh, that's gross. And he says, it says here, the disciples asked him concerning the parable. What does that mean? They said, Jesus, what does that mean? What are you talking about here, Jesus? Now, I'm going to explain to you why this created some real question in their mind. Verse 18, he saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart. Ah, now we know what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the difference in a person's heart. He's looking beyond your hands and he's looking to the heart, which is exactly what God does the whole time. But now let's continue. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. I mean, it's like, are you going to stop now, Jesus, anytime? We get the idea, Jesus. He says, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Okay, now let's back up here and look at this. What was the original question? The original question was from the Pharisees to Jesus. Why do your disciples eat with unwashed, defiled hands? Why don't they hold to the traditions? Jesus says, because they're not going to stand responsible before God for the traditions. The only thing they're going to stand responsible before God about is the Word, the truth. And you guys, the religious leaders, the preachers, the teachers, you've been exalting your traditions above the Word of God. Now get this, making the people accountable to you instead of God. But Pastor, I was over at that one church and he was talking about the Word of God, how you can pray in tongues anytime you want. Now you know we don't teach that around here. You're going to have to make a choice. It's our way, which by the way happens to be God's way, or you can go to one of those other flaky cult churches. It's up to you. It's up to you. You with me? Can you see the identical comparison? And so he says, listen, you guys are exalting the traditions. In another place, he talks about how that you lay burdens on people that they can't carry. He's saying, listen, you guys have exalted traditions over the Word of God, and by doing so, you're rendering the Word of God of none effect. In what way? In this way. You're telling the people your traditions are more important than the Word of God. And you're not telling them the difference. You're not telling them what you've added. You're not telling them what you've altered. You're not telling them what you've changed. You're just throwing this stuff out to them as though it's all truth from heaven. And is that not what goes on in churches today?
Well, now we know that God will teach us things through sickness and suffering to try and draw us closer to Him. Bull dookie! Mishnah! Bull Mishnah!
I'm turning the radio station.
Don't you do it! What you ought to do is go back and confront your Pharisee and ask how come it is they haven't stayed true to the Word of God. Brother Martin, do you ever notice sometimes you kind of blunt? Verse 6, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. Is that blunt?
That's blunt.
To call the religious leaders hypocrites? See, here's the thing, man, preachers don't like. I'm telling you. Preachers do not like to be confronted with truth when the truth contradicts their doctrines. And I'm telling you right now, if you want to get a lot of, maybe not all of them, but you want to get a lot of preachers really defensive, really honked off, really upset, you start asking them questions about God's Word which contradict what they preach. And you start putting the Word of God back in context and asking them questions. Don't tell them they're wrong, just ask them questions. Like Jesus, have you not read? Have you not heard? You know what I'm saying? Follow His example. You keep asking enough questions, you're going to get some preachers really upset with you. You know why? It's because they don't have answers. So here's Jesus, and he's gone through all this thing of confronting the Mishnah with the truth, and he's exposed the religious leaders for what they are, hypocrites. How are they hypocrites?
We are teaching you the Word of God.
And Jesus says, you are not. You're teaching them traditions that render the Word of God of none effect. Man, I'm telling you what, you better believe some. Nowadays, there's some folks, they'd be asking for their offerings back. Wait a minute. You mean what you've been teaching me is not truth? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have heard things from the Word that you finally saw were truth and realized that all your religious life you had been taught wrong about something? Did you feel robbed? Did you feel lied to? No matter how nice the preachers were, did you feel deceived? Did you feel abused? Did you feel used? How do you think these people felt when Jesus was exposing the traditions of the elders in front of those people? And those, dinner table that night? Boy, you wouldn't believe what that Jesus did today. My goodness gracious. You know all that stuff about washing your hands? I mean, can you imagine that? Here comes Homer. You know, here's a water bucket. He's supposed to, get somebody to wash his hands. Wife's got the table all spread out, pork chops. Oh, wait a minute. Roast beef. Mashed potatoes. Oh, yeah. Ooh, I feel an anointing coming on. And he comes in, and he sits down at the table and says, okay, baby, serve it up. And she says, but Homer, you have not washed thy hands. And I ain't going to either. But Homer, the pastor said, pooey on the pastor. Let me tell you what this Jesus said today. Then he begins explaining this to her. Baby, we've been deceived for 35 years. Come back, Scott. We just go find ourselves another church. Honey, we can't. We're Jews. We got to go to the synagogue. Jim Martin ain't been born yet. Anyway, I mean, can you imagine the discussions that would have gone on after this encounter? Well, I wonder what else they've told us that doesn't line up with the Word. So Jesus, he makes a statement in verse 15, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. And he says in verse 18, do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Now stop. Now think about this and try to think like a Jew for a moment. What goes into a man? Say it really loud.
Food.
Jesus says, whatever goes into a man, that cannot defile the man. What have the Jews heard all their life? You want a whole list? Just read Leviticus chapter 11 sometime. The hoofs and the legs and all this other kind of stuff. You know, what they can eat and all this. So what they've been hearing is that you'll be defiled if you eat these things. Now, you talk about a message that could stir up some controversy. He says, I mean, he's gone through this thing of exposing these Pharisees, and then he takes it a step further. I mean, he really steps out on this one. And he says, whatever goes into a man, that cannot defile the man. Well, you can imagine why these disciples get in the house and they say, Jesus, can you explain this to us? Because, you know, we don't eat this stuff. Remember Peter, Acts chapter 10, sheet comes down. And if you read Leviticus 11 and then go read Acts chapter 10, all the stuff that was on that sheet, it's stuff that was in Leviticus 11. And God says, get up, kill, and eat. And Peter says, I think not. He's talking to God. And God says, get up, kill, and eat. God tells him to eat it. And Peter says, have you not heard? Hast thou not read? Where were you Sunday? No, Saturday. Where were you Saturday? Three times this happened. And the boy said, you know, don't call unclean that which you know is clean and all. And then Paul writes over in Romans how that the Lord Jesus Christ told him that there is no food unclean of itself. Well, Jesus makes this statement right here, and he says, whatever goes into a man, that can't defile the man. And they're thinking, wait a minute. Jesus, what are you talking about? Now, let me explain a little bit more about this. Back up here. I think verse 8, something like that. Yeah, Jesus is talking about the traditions, right? Now, notice what he says. You hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups. Now, he specifically identifies pots. Now, let me explain something to you. Another one of those, remember the fingertip up, fingertip down kind of washing you had to go through? Now, let me explain to you about the pot. They taught, the tradition was, that the pot is pure and clean on the inside unless something is put in it that will defile it. And if something is put in it that would defile it, okay, just say pork chop, all right? I mean, that's very simple to comprehend. It could be other stuff too, but if something's put in it that would defile it, then what you have to do is take that pot and begin breaking it in pieces. And you had to break it in pieces so small that not one piece would be able to hold enough anointing oil to anoint the little toe. I mean, so you can imagine, we're talking, they had to smash and smash until, the, you know, you couldn't even get enough oil on one little piece to anoint your little toe. I don't know why you'd want to anoint your little toe anyway, but it's just an example. But the pot was clean inside until something was put in it to defile it, okay? Jesus says in verse 15, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. They just got through talking about cleansings, did they not? Just got done talking about washing things to make things clean, did they not? And how that they had to go through these rituals, which were the traditions. And so Jesus, what he's doing, he's coming at another tradition here. And he says, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. Verse 18, do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? But why not, Jesus? Well, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught. The word draught was a word used to talk like about an outhouse. Okay? So you know, get the idea. Purging, now what's this? Purging what? All meats. All meat, not just clean. All meats. In other words, guys, if you eat pork, it's not going to defile you. Because it's just going to end up, you know, down the commode. No matter what you eat, you're just going to flush it out. In other words, now listen to what he's saying here. Then he goes on, he talks about it's the things that come from within. The stuff you eat, it doesn't go to your heart. It can't defile you. But Jesus, we thought we were like those pots. We weren't defiled unless we put something dirty in us. What Jesus is saying here is this. Guys, I have news for you. No matter what that tradition is that's been taught to you, it isn't what you take in that defiles you. You guys are already defiled in your heart because of your sin nature. And until Now remember the illustration of the pot? Had to be broken in pieces? Until you're a new pot, you're going to remain defiled on the inside. Because the defiling stuff, it isn't in what you eat, it's what is in your heart. What else is he saying here? What he's telling them, man, this had to have been a shock. What he's telling them is this. You know those scribes and Pharisees and priests that were questioning me about this washing thing earlier? The ones that have given you all these cleaning traditions? The ones that have told you that the pot is clean and pure on the inside unless something comes from without into it to defile it? Fellas, I've got news for you. Those men are likewise defiled because they have the same sin nature. In other words, they are not who they've told you they are. And here he's trying to... And you can imagine the shock on these guys' faces because they had been told, essentially, now, everything is okay unless you take something in to defile yourself. Then everything will not be okay. And Jesus is, essentially, he's saying, go out and get yourself a couple of pounds of bacon. Fry it up. Have some eggs, toast, strawberry jam. Go for it. That stuff's not going to defile you. You can't become any more defiled than you already are with a sin nature. But I'm the one who's going to make you a vessel unto honor. I'm the one that has the ability to go on the inside of the pot and clean it out and make it pure and holy, a vessel of honor unto the Lord. You talk about messing up people's theology. Okay, you want a corresponding teaching to all of this? It's corresponding, but it's a reverse. Those people have been taught, unless you put it in you, you're not defiled. See, you gotta, if you do some reading on the Jewish teachings and beliefs, these people, maybe they weren't all caught up in this. Because you can read back in the prophets how a lot of the prophets in the Old Testament, they had an understanding of what was going on because of what God did in their lives. But essentially, the Jews were taught, we're Jews, we have the law, we're the holy ones. Everybody else is filthy, condemned, and they have no hope. That's one of the reasons why in the New Testament you see so much stuff about how that Paul was continuing to remind the people, listen, it's all about Jesus. It's all about your faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about keeping the law. You know, Christ, you know, Jesus Christ, the end of the law, you know, for those who believe. You're dead to the law through the body of Jesus Christ. I mean, on and on, he's trying to get across to people, it's not about keeping the law. Well, essentially, they were taught, we're Jews, we have the law. Yeah, we can sin, but we can't sin. Not like the Gentiles. And if we do commit certain sins, I mean, yeah, we can offer sacrifices and so forth. I mean, in spite of the fact that God said, you know, was talking about, you know, stone people for this and kill them for that and all that, they still had this mindset that they were better than everybody else and that they could never become totally defiled like a Gentile, in spite of what the Word said. The same kind of teaching exists today, only in reverse. There's none righteous, no, not one. How can you say that you're righteous? Why? Don't you know that we're all sinners, fallen short of the glory of God? Well, yeah, I understand, you know, but I'm born again now. You may be born again, you may be a Christian, but don't you understand there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, what if we put that verse back in context? What Paul wrote in Romans? And if you put it back in context, you find out that he's talking about before Jesus. It didn't matter if you were Jew or Gentile. There was none righteous, no, not one. And Isaiah wrote, in fact, what's interesting, I think it's Isaiah 64. He talks about all our righteousnesses as filthy rags. And then he goes on, like a verse or two later in that, and he says, ah, but we are like the clay, we're like the jar in the potter's hand. That you can do whatever you want with us. What was Jesus talking about in here? He's talking about the jars, the pottery. Now, the teaching, there's none righteous, no, not one. And then there are, you know, other things that we could bring out. But what I'm getting at is this. The traditions are the same today as they were back then. The names of the churches have changed. We don't call people scribes or Pharisees anymore. But the essence of what's being done is the same thing. They're combining the Mishnah of their traditions with the law, and in some places actually canceling or rendering the Word of God of none effect. Because if God says that Jesus Christ was made to be sin for us who knew no sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him, that means that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are made righteous.
Yes,
we are the righteousness of God.
Yes.
So then if I turn around and I teach you the Mishnah doctrine that, why, there's none righteous, no, not one, then what I'm telling you to do is find out how to become righteous. Works. You see what I'm saying? Performance. If you do all these things, it'll help you to maybe attain to maybe a little more righteousness or be a little bit more better or a little more accepted in the eyes of God. But, you know, there's none righteous, no, not one. We've got to work hard before the Lord. And the work's already been accomplished through Jesus Christ on the cross. The Bible says, God's Word says, that we've been made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. That's the Word. And Jesus Himself, I mean, in this whole thing that we're reading about in Mark, Jesus, not only was He dealing with the situation there, but really that whole scenario was prophetical of what's going on today in the body of Christ. Because when people tell us that we're not righteous, when people tell us that we still, that yeah, you may be born again, but you know, you still have a sin nature. But wait a minute. How can I still have a sin nature if I'm born again? And the Bible says that you're born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. So how can I still have something that I've been born again and delivered from? But the Mishnah traditions that are delivered week after week, Sunday after Sunday, in churches all over the place, continue to render the Word of God of none effect. To the point that in some cases, create a scenario here, but pastor, I mean, I'm reading in the Bible and it says, thus, thus, such and such, thus and such and such. Yes, well, however, that's not how we read it. That's not how we interpret it. That's not what it means to us. You know, organizations that will tell you that if you do not go to church on Saturday, you're going to hell. They're out there. Or group, people that will tell you that you know, you have to eat according to Leviticus 11. People, and yet Paul came along and he said, I think some people forget who Paul was. The super expert in the law. Paul came along and he said, hey, what's the matter with you people? Don't you get it? That if you bind yourself up to one part of the law, you're bound to do the whole law. You can't pick and choose what you want out of the law and think that makes things right. It's all or nothing. That's why you've been delivered from that stuff through Jesus Christ. He talked about how that when we live by faith through Jesus Christ, we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become born again. He says you're establishing the law in that. So, again, what's it come down to? Well, really, it comes down to, I don't know, maybe a lot of things, but one of them is this. You know, how much longer are you going to put up with Mishnah? Whoever is putting up with Mishnah, people that are listening to this by radio, people listening to this by the tape, whoever you are, wherever you are, how much longer are you going to... See, back then the Jews didn't have a choice. Remember, you know what, Homer? We have to go. We're Jews. We have to go to the synagogue. All right, they did. You know what? Today, you have a choice. And you don't have to go to some place that preaches and teaches Mishnah. You have the ability to choose to go to some place that's going to deliver to you truth. So what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to live according to truth? Or are you going to continue to live according to the traditions? Man, I'll tell you what, if you think God is happy with the way things exist in the body of Christ today, you're wrong. People seek for whatever will give them what they want that will make them feel comfortable. And if you look hard enough, no matter what you want, whatever kind of church is going to make you feel comfortable, you'll find it sooner or later. Quit playing your games, man. Wake up. I know at times I sound harsh. This book is the standard, right here, God's Word. You either do it or you don't. You cannot pick and choose what you want to believe. You cannot pick and choose what you want to teach. You cannot say that all those miracle kinds of gifts of the Spirit things and all, you know, that was back then for that time. And yet, it says right here that the Word will never pass away. It says right here, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. It says right here, God never changes. It says right here that this Word is going to be the thing that judges us. That's what it says in here. So, we have to make a choice. I have encountered so many people, emails, students, letters, they want answers. Oh, Brother Martin, I enjoy these classes. Oh, Brother Martin, I enjoy your radio program. Oh, Brother Martin, this tape set was wonderful. Oh, Brother Martin. And they live within driving distance of here. Why, I've never heard this. Why, this is great. This is incredible. You know, whatever. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, let's see. If you're not getting this where you are, then why are you there? Why are you coming to me? I'm not your pastor. You have chosen somebody else to be your pastor. I'll do what I can. You understand what I'm saying, guys. But the thing is, you got people out there, they honestly don't want to go further with God. They've hit this happy comfort zone in their life, and they don't want to go any further. And they're willing to accept Mishnah. Even if they know it's Mishnah. They're willing to accept it. Well, yeah, I know that's what God's Word says, but, you know, I just don't know. I just got some things I got to work out in my own life. You think I believe that? You think I'm going to accept that? You know what I ought to? Maybe I ought to be more like Jesus. Well, hath Isaiah prophesied about you, hypocrite. You serve God with your lips, but your heart is far from Him. I could quote the Word and get punched out. Preacher mauled by angry mob for quoting the Word. That's what Jesus did to people, is it not? It's kind of like what I was saying this morning, you know. We in the body of Christ, we have been trained to accept compromise. And too many times, there's a way to stand up for truth in love. And notice Jesus, this whole thing that happened here, Jesus didn't bring it up. They attacked Him. Why are you teaching your people wrong doctrine? Excuse me, hypocrites. Who's teaching who wrong doctrine? I'm teaching the Word. You guys have added to it, twisted it, perverted it, and corrupted it, and then told the people it was the Word. You're rendering the Word of God. They're the ones that started this. Not Jesus. Now, this morning, the question was this: are you living by Mishnah? That was the title of the sermon for this morning. You are not a defiled vessel. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has purged you, cleansed you, made you a vessel of honor before God. And now, you know what can defile it? Mishnah. If you begin to shove Mishnah down your spiritual throat and believe that that is going to get you to the place of spiritual maturity, it's a defilement. See, that sounds like a really harsh thing. But when you get into the Word and you seriously examine God's Word, you're going to find out if it does not line up, I mean toe the line to what God has given to us, it's going to be burned up in His presence. And that's what Paul was writing about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Jesus is the foundation, but you better watch out how you build on that foundation. You better watch out what doctrines you try to shove on that foundation and live by. Mishnah, quite frankly, it's interesting. In some aspects, Mishnah appears to be easier to live by, but it isn't. It's harder to live by Mishnah than truth. You know why? It's because Mishnah can't bring God's promises into your life. And truth can. Jesus did a good job confronting the wrong doctrines of His day. Here's the challenge to us. When we are confronted with wrong doctrines, what are we going to do? When you are confronted, all of us, doesn't matter, me, anybody else, when we are confronted with truth that goes against what we thought was truth, what are we going to do? Hopefully we'll choose truth. And you know what? Here's what's interesting. Jesus, he really kind of hammered those Pharisees and scribes, did He not? But you know what? He still died for them, didn't He? So that after He died and rose from the grave, they could be changed and be made a vessel of honor unto the Lord. Oh, they may have been hypocrites, but He made it possible for that old hypocrite nature to be purged so they could be born again. Aren't you glad that Jesus stood up for what was right? Aren't you glad that Jesus has made it possible for every one of us to live a life that is holy and pleasing unto God?